Welcome to Local Talk Tuesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events in our Central Iowa community. Thank you for tuning in. I am Mike Metz, your host for this hour, along with engineer Mike Murphy and neighbor Pat Schlerbaum, Milford Township's resident naturalist. Hello, Pat.
A lot to live up to in that resident naturalist in Milford Township, northeast of Ames.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you, the cuckoos are out, yellowbills. Does that mean the caterpillars are out and about?
Yeah, yellow-billed cuckoos, they really like to rely upon those coleopteran larvae. The worms or inchworms I've been seeing quite a few of. So I'm sure they're feeding young.
That's great. Yeah. And along with us, Anna Magnuson, alias Anna Banana, joins us later this hour to share her heart-to-heart and tune-in Tuesday messages. But let's not drag our feet any longer, and we're going to welcome Brenda Dreyer, Senior Vice President of the Ames Chamber. Yeah, hello, Brenda. How are you?
Well, good morning, all. It's great to see you virtually on this beautiful, warm June Iowa morning.
Yeah, it feels more like July this morning, actually, but great day.
Very much.
Yes. Yep. So, Brenda, you are involved in a number of different projects, and we were wondering, there's an intern program that I believe it's called See Yourself in Ames, perhaps. What can you tell us about that?
So See Yourself in Ames is a longtime program of the Ames Chamber of Commerce. The program is underwritten by a lot of generous sponsorships from some of our local industry. As we know, as we're coming out of the pandemic and going into the pandemic, we have interesting workforce challenges in and around our region. And those workforce challenges aren't going to be met overnight. And one of the initiatives we launched quite some time ago was an effort to maximize the opportunity that we have not only with Iowa State students, but college students from across the country that are interning at some of our world-class companies. So it's a multi-series event. This year, we decided to do virtual events and two in-person events. And so the goal of the program is really to provide the young folks with a bit of educational component, a networking component, a fun component, and again, challenge their thinking that there is more to this great community and region than just the university. While it's a fabulous asset, it's important for us to build on the fact that this is a great community for young people to come, live, and work. And so our first program, Jamie Pollard, was a virtual program. He kicked it off and really with a focus on leadership. And I've heard Jamie talk a number of times, and I appreciate that. While I love the Cyclones, a lot of his message was about his personal leadership journey. And I found out things about our athletic director I didn't know. And I appreciate him taking the time to visit with. We had almost 150 interns on the line that day. Tonight, we have a fun event. So this is going to be our first in-person event for the interns since 2019. You know, it's been a long time, almost 2 years, since we've had an in-person intern event. And so tonight, we're gonna be hosting the interns from across the area at Ryman Gardens. And we're going to be talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so we have, I believe, Anna, are you scheduled to speak tonight? So our own Anna Banana is on to speak on a topic that's very near and dear to both of us, and that's inclusion of folks in our communities with disabilities. But it's a great topic. We're excited to engage our young people in a panelist conversation. We'll give them an opportunity to get out into the Ryman Gardens as well. There's some fabulous exhibits. It'll be a wonderful way to spend an evening and actually get to connect with people they saw on a screen in person tonight.
Anna,
and then
you,
we'll see you again.
I was
going to
say, Anna, did you want to comment with Brenda or ask her anything about the event tonight while you're, since you're involved in that?
Well, we were just so excited that Able Up Iowa was invited to be part of it, because I know that there were limited spots. And so we're excited to be part of the panel to discuss disabilities, especially as we are expanding our programs to be able to serve more individuals with disabilities. But also we created a circle of voices to focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we're excited to talk about that, be around the young people, and be outside in beautiful Ryman Gardens. So selfishly, I'm very, very, very excited about it. So thank you for the invitation.
Brenda, I'm sorry I stepped on you there, but go ahead, continue.
You don't have to worry at all. And now you know exactly why we asked her to participate. So on June 22nd, we're actually going to host another virtual event. And this time we're going to feature one of our local entrepreneurs. And she actually has a startup business on journaling and calligraphy, but she does a fabulous job talking about branding. And so that's part of, if you think about, you know, what is your brand? What are you selling as you start to prepare yourself for your career? And so we're excited about that virtual event. We're even going to offer a special opportunity for the interns that are interested to be able to take part in one of our workshops in advance of the event. So all the events go from 4 to 6. One of the things we found out over the years is that our interns are very protective of their evenings, and so we like to include this as almost part of their work day, and we're blessed with great employers that are supportive of letting them participate. So excited about that virtual event, and then we'll end out this year's See Yourself in Ames on July 13th out in the Research Park, and we're going to be meeting in the CPMI event space, so a very large space. We're bringing in Adam Carroll. And so if you've had an opportunity to hear Adam Carroll, whether you're a high school student or a college student or somebody that's at the end of their career almost, in the later parts of their career, you can glean a lot from the message of Adam Carroll. And one of the things he's going to talk about with our interns that we've heard time and time again that's so valuable is how key some of those early decisions are that you make as you're launching your career. And so taking the opportunity to evaluate and learn from every job you have and making good, sound financial decisions. And again, it's a great message. It'll be a fabulous way to end this year's programming. We're thrilled that, again, our local employers have been so supportive. I don't know that most people truly understand how many interns we have in our community over the course of a summer. You know, you look at Workiva and REG and Danfoss that probably each surpass over 50. We've got Ag Certain, a company that's really between Boone and Ames, that's got almost 25 interns. Kingland has almost 30 interns, and that doesn't count those folks that maybe have 10, you know. So we are lucky. Ramir actually has interns here in Impella, and so we include the interns that are in Impella and Rockwell. I could just go right down the list of employers that bring folks into our community in the summer. So it's a great program. It doesn't solve our workforce challenges overnight, but it really sets an important stage that this is a good place to live and work beyond graduating from Iowa State.
I know you present all of these enticements and work with the individuals and introduce them to the community. Do you have a feel for retention as far as how many of those interns actually end up staying here in the Ames community or at least in the central Iowa area?
You know, I feel like, especially our Iowa State grads, a great number of Iowa State grads, we know that our graduates stay more local than maybe other places, but certainly if you look down the cultivation corridor into the Des Moines area, there are a number of interns that to stay here. And again, it's just been an interesting year to know exactly where people ended up. Exciting to see people coming back into the office. We had a lot of our workforce, especially out in the research park, that worked remotely. We had a lot of our manufacturers that, aside from manufacturing, were rotating their office staffs. And so we feel great about the program. And the other thing often that happens is, I'll use myself as an example. In the back of my mind, I always knew the last chapter in my career would be in Phoenix. It's where we wanted to live. That's where we wanted to retire. And I look at the experience I had, 30 plus years ago here. I planted a seed so that we moved back to the region, 8 years ago. So sometimes it isn't always immediate. It's just ensuring that they leave with a great experience. We all play a role in that. The continual growth and vibrancy of our community is important to all of us. So it's a great program. We're excited again to be offering it this year, not only virtually, but in person.
Kind of wonder where my roots would have ended up if I'd have gone through something like that. I transferred here from Wisconsin partway through my college years and ended up staying here. And I know at least one other individual in the studio did as well. And even without that kind of opportunity to be able to work with individuals, get some positions locally as maybe an intern or an hourly type of situation, when people start viewing the community, they see there are a lot of great things.
Absolutely. So you hit on the word. It really is about community. And there is no one magic wand that says, we'll worry about this and this will make it great. It really is an abundance and the diversity within our own community and organizations that makes AIMS and the surrounding area such a great place.
Brenda, this is Pat Schlarbaum. Since Mike referred to me as the other member in the studio that had stayed at Ames, I always thought of Ames as having the small town charm. Or it's maybe best way to describe Ames is a big Iowa farm town where we kind of take care of each other and promote the community as best we can. It is bigger than a lot of small towns, but yet it still maintains that small town charm. Is that how it seems to you also?
That's what I would echo as well. And a good example of that was you'll get a chuckle out of this, but I had meetings late last week at Cafe Diem. I've been doing in-person meetings here for a while with masks and social distancing, but I was thrilled. I walked into Cafe Diem and I knew about 25% of the people in the coffee shop. And that just brought me such amount of joy. I saw people from my congregation. I saw people from my PEO chapter. I saw people from other businesses and other people from my neighborhood. I was reminded that is one of the great things is that we can participate in Summerfest in Campus Town and see familiar faces. We can flip out to the mall for a quick trip and likely run into somebody we know. And so, and then we have the opportunity, every August to welcome in 30,000 plus new people to our community. And I think that renewal every year of new faces and new life into the community we've got the stability of our local residents, but then every year we get some chances to see some new faces and then celebrate in both December and May that they've went through the university. So it's a unique opportunity we do have in terms of our size. We do grow. We aren't growing leaps and bounds, but I think it's still important though to keep an eye on growth. Still important to support our local business and industry and their efforts to continue to recruit workforce. We know we have an abundance of workforce that drives in to Story County every day to work. It'd be great if we could make it in such a way that we've got everything they need to be able to bring their families here to live and work. And so it's really a giant puzzle and say, okay, what are the things we need to be doing to continue to attract workforce, to continue to support our local outstanding companies, to go after new companies that complement what we already have, to maintain our downtown. It is an interesting deal every day, and again, it makes coming to work really fun because there's a lot going on.
Community is part of the mental health aspect, definitely, and like you say, when you go into an area and you recognize some of the folks, you keep those good connections, social, and you know, one of the phrases you often hear is social distancing with the COVID idea, and I've always referred to it as physical distancing because we try to maintain our social connections, and you pointed out just some of those ways that we can do that. Any last words, Brenda, before we wrap up?
I guess I'd put a plea out to your audience. We have a record number of job openings, and it's hard for us to hear that our restaurants are struggling and we're waiting longer in lines, and we've even heard instances of reducing hours, not because of COVID, but because of labor force shortages. We also have more opportunities than you can imagine that are full-time with benefits, with companies that are willing to train people. They want to talk to people. We're having more challenges than we had pre the pandemic with lower unemployment rates. And so for any number of reasons, I know that there are people that are hesitant to go to work. We need folks to be searching out employment opportunities and help us get the word out how important it is to be talking to people about the great opportunities we have for employment in and around the Ames area. So it's easy. WorkinAmes.com is our job board. There's over 1,800 job opportunities listed there. I tell people, if you can't find something on there, you call me and I'll find you something. Because we have a lot of employers that need people. And it's important in our communities and the health of our citizens to have good employment, to take care of themselves and their families. So that's kind of my parting words and really a plea to the audience.
Thank you, Brenda. Brenda Dreyer, the Senior Vice President of the Ames Chamber. Have a great day. And that was a little bit of Out in the Country by Three Dog Night in honor of Chuck Negron's, one of the main singers of that group, is the anniversary of his birthday today, among a few other individuals, but getting out in the country, and we're about to talk to somebody to help us think about getting out there in the country and enjoying our county parks. Welcome, Erica Place.
Thank you. Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Erica, what are some of the activities that folks in the community can take part in our great county facilities?
Yeah, so the parks are busy despite the recent heat wave. We've had a lot of folks just getting out and enjoying the parks on their own. Lots of fishing and hiking going on. You know, we see people on social media sharing their pictures from their adventures. But if you'd like a little bit of help figuring out what sort of outdoor activity you might like to try next, we do have some things coming up on the calendar. Probably the one that, well, there are two that I really want to make sure I cover this morning. The first is Backpacking Basics. That's going to be happening later this month. June 30th is the date. It'll happen at McFarland Park. And it is for folks who have never been backpacking, but think it sounds really neat and just don't know how to get started and really need a helping hand to go over the equipment that you might need to have a successful backpacking adventure. Different, you know, scenarios that you might go over in case this happens, this is what you do type of thing. And it's just a group of beginners. So there's no pressure. You don't have to know anything. For the newbies.
Yeah, I have to tell you, the first time I helped on some of those a couple of times, because I have done some backpacking in the past, and on some of our first youth leadership groups, you'd have to go through the packs of people, and you'd be throwing out cans and things, and it just, you know, you take a 50-pound pack and make it something you can handle the poor little person who was heavier than
Absolutely. They
were. So,
yeah, the naturalist who's going to lead that program, her name is Heather, and she traditionally leads annual backpacking trips for high school students in Story County. So they would usually go on a big trip to Colorado or, you know, out to the Smokies. And, of course, we're not offering that trip this year, but we thought we'd offer instead something for the public right here in Story County to get you prepped to try that on your own. So would love to see you there. We also have some opportunities if you are into paddleboarding, which you're standing on a body of water on a board. So picture surfing, except no waves. You're just paddling along on the still water. And we are offering some for beginners. I think those have filled, but we do have some advanced paddle boarding classes. So maybe you've already got some experience but want to hone your skills a little bit, learn some tips and tricks. We've got some programs like that for you too. So those are in July. You've still got plenty of time to sign up for those. Our regular programs that we offer every year include our evening prairie walks. We just did our first one in May, but we still have June, July, and August on the calendar. And that's held at Doolittle Prairie, which is Story County's largest prairie remnant. And it's just south of Story City, short drive, and it's a really beautiful spot. And the great thing about the evening prairie walks is you can come to all four of those walks, and the prairie will just look completely different every time because things bloom at different times. So it's a great way to really get familiar with what the prairie looks like and how it transforms through the season. And the volunteer who leads those hikes, Dr. Tom Rosberg, is just an absolute wealth of knowledge and can answer all of your burning prairie questions. So I want to make sure I plug that one too.
Yeah, definitely. Tom is I would consider him one of the premier prairie experts, and we're so glad that he's willing to do this here, right here in Story County.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I did want to mention we have something that we're planning, but it's not on our calendars yet. We kind of did a little teaser in our last newsletter about this, but the details are coming together, and we are joining forces with the city of Colo. They have their annual celebration called Colo Crossroads, and we're hosting it this year at Hickory Grove Park in conjunction with kind of a celebration of the lake restoration completion. And that's going to be July 10th, which is a Saturday, and the entire day is just going to be jam-packed with all sorts of fun activities like archery. There will be bouncy houses, minnow races, face painting, chainsaw carving, the whole shebang. And we're really excited that the lake restoration is complete and we're able to start welcoming, you know, folks back to the park. Of course, the park has been open throughout the majority of the lake restoration, but The park has just seen so many improvements, and now all we need is some water. So keep your fingers crossed for rain.
I was going to ask.
All the lake activities.
Yeah, were you going to be out there with the garden hose the night before trying to fill the lake?
Right. You know, we've certainly gotten questions about that. You know, when are you going to refill the lake? And the short answer is, it's in nature's hands. We've got to get some rainfall in order to fill that lake. It's a big watershed, and it might seem like it would take forever for the lake to fill, but the last time the lake was drained, I believe that, you know, it took a while. There was a long period of no rain, but then it just took one rain event overnight, and it filled the entire lake. So we really just need, you know, one or a couple significant rainfalls, and I think we'll see a substantial increase in the amount of water in the lake bed.
So a hint to the folks that like to try to fish that lake, now is the time to take your camera, take photos of all the structures so you know where they are prior to it filling.
Sure, yeah, and we do have a map if you're interested in the lake contours, so you know where all the secret spots are. We do have that map too, so yeah, I think once we've got some water, and then of course we could then finish the stocking plan. We need to put the fish back in the lake, of course. But yeah, we're so close, and we're just thrilled that the lake restoration is finally complete, and we're excited to celebrate it this way with the city of Colo.
And Erica, this is Pat Schlarba. My fisheries friends would want me to point out the structure that Mike Metz was referring to is a lot of rock or Christmas tree or just things that the little fish can develop. And, of course, they're the bait for the bigger fish. So you look for places where the little fish can live, I guess.
Yeah, we did some really interesting fish structure work in the bottom of the lake bed. We cut a bunch of cedars and actually stuck them vertically in the ground. So there's going to be a lot of structure out there. Many volunteers worked to build things with pallets. So some are in the shape of a triangle. Some of are, you know, more of like a square box sort of a shape. But there is a lot of fish structure out there, and I have no doubt that it will be a hot spot for fishing again in the future. Mm.
Yeah. Any other things that you want to add, Erica, before we start to wrap up here? I know there are other parks, of course, in Story, and you've more or less talked about McFarland, which is there at the Conservation Center, and Hickory, which seems to be what I would say. Well, that was one of the original. Zeering and Hickory were the first two mm-hmm. parks, if I remember right.
Yeah, you're right. We have quite a few more than just those main three. West Peterson Park continues to be a very popular spot. The Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor in South Ames is an extremely popular spot. And if you head out to our website, which is storycountyconservation.org, you can pull up a map of all of the spots that Story County Conservation manages. Just make sure, especially in this heat, that you are preparing for your outdoor adventure. Take some water with you. Be mindful of the sun. You might want some sunscreen or a hat, but you can still safely do some exploration and adventures, even when it's a little bit warm outside.
Are there opportunities starting to open up for any volunteer work for the county programs?
Absolutely, and we maintain a list of all of our current volunteer opportunities on that same website. And we have quite a few that we kind of refer to as service projects, which means that you can sign up to do an activity on your own time when it works for you after, you know, an orientation and we explain the scope of the project. So that seems to be really popular with volunteers, so they don't need to commit to a day or a time. They can just work on things as they have little chunks of time here or there. We have a lot of opportunities like that on our website right now, including some, you know, that are more skilled. For instance, we're looking for someone to weed our rain garden at Dakin's Lake, which you mentioned is in Zeering. We have a rain garden up there that is full of lots of native plants, but also some not so native plants. And we need a trained eye to remove some of those. So that's just one example of the service projects that are currently posted on our website. So please, yes, go check those out. There are a lot of opportunities to get involved.
One other question before we wrap up, and that is, you work with a lot of the youth in the school systems in a year when we're not faced with the COVID situation, but are you starting to open that up a little bit more? Are there some summer opportunities for those folks?
Yeah, we just started nature camp. Yesterday was our first day of nature camp. It's going to be a really fun summer. The naturalists are having a blast. They have so missed getting to do their nature camps, and there was just a lot of giggles and laughter out there. And there are still spots in a lot of those nature camps. We're offering some new ones here. Since we are not doing some of our overnight or traveling camps, we've offered a couple different things like fishing for beginners, canoeing for beginners. So there are a lot of day camp opportunities with spots still open. So again, visit our website at storycountyconservation.org to see a complete listing of all of the events that we have coming up. It'll be a fun summer.
Thank you, Eric Place, Outreach Coordinator for Story County Conservation. It was a pleasure to have you, and hopefully we'll see you again next month.
Sounds great. Thank you.
And now we would like to welcome Susan Guiazda from the City of Ames. Hello, Susan. How are you today? I see that Susan's having a little difficulty. Julie, are you with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. And I see Susan has joined in as we speak.
I am there. I was having audio problems, and I just figured it out. So I'm sorry for the delay.
I thought maybe the dog ate your mouse or something there.
Yep, we're all good there.
All right. Susan, before we visit with Julie, what do you have from the City of Ames that we need to know about?
Well, just a couple of updates. Yesterday, we had our first police chief interview at the library where there was a public presentation. The candidate was Jeff Huff, who's an internal candidate. And next week, we'll have another opportunity for the public to meet the police chief candidate. It is John Giustiano, and that will be at 4:30 at the Ames Public Library. I was actually pleasantly surprised at how many people showed up and asked really good probing questions. It's a good opportunity to get to meet a city leader who will play an important role in developing this community. So it's good to see that much interest. They are unfortunately not taped. We got a couple of questions on whether those interviews would be taped, and they are not. So you actually have to show up to see them and participate and then provide some feedback, which is sort of the purpose. We would like to hear the public commentary on how they think that the candidate did. So that's one thing that's up and coming. Also, the Lazy River should open today. That'll be good news for Furman visitors who have looked forward to enjoying the Lazy River with these hot temperatures we've had. This will be a very welcome addition to Furman to have that back. So we're excited that that's back.
So you had that poor little Dutch boy figure out where the leak was and plug it then.
We have done a series of different mechanisms and plugins and whatever to find a way to keep the Lazy River, keep the water in it. And I'm not sure all the different MacGyvering that went into that, but it was pretty extensive.
Well, that's, in a an area where duct tape and baling wire solve a lot of problems, I'm sure Keith and his crew figured it out.
Yeah, we're very excited that they've got it worked out for the season. But I did want to bring Julie Gould with us today because we've had some changes to 4th of July. And those changes have meant that an event we've had for years, actually for 14 years, the 4th of July Community Breakfast, will no longer be held this 4th of July. And that event is officially retired. We didn't do it last year because of COVID. We were starting, and people have asked, why aren't we doing it? And there really are a series of factors of why the breakfast is not happening. One, it was getting harder and harder to staff. It's a difficult time to get people who are available for a good chunk of the 4th of July, and that was getting trickier. But we were having to move it. It could not be held in front of City Hall any longer. because of the street closing, the way that, we had to close the street meant the street had to be closed for several days, and that is the drop box for the utility billing. And also recently, we had gotten in the last few years a lot of concern about the amount of waste and styrofoam that we were using at this event. And we were switching to more compostable product. And honestly, the cost of the pancakes plus the compostable product plus the cost of renting the tents and chairs and moving everything and the staffing, it got to the point where we said, the purpose of this event was to build community. And what can we do to build community that maybe is a little different? It takes a little different shape or form. And Julie had this great idea. And so we are going to pursue a different event this year that builds community, strengthens neighborhoods, brings families together, gets kids involved. And we're going to start small and we're going to see how it goes and see if we can build this into an annual event.
Well, Julie, let us find out. Tell us, please. What is this annual event?
Good morning. Well, Susan's really creative, so she came up with a name, the Ames Appreciation Project, and that's really what it's about. It's about appreciating our neighbors and our community and coming together again, especially after coming through the pandemic, and also to celebrate neighborhoods. I didn't realize that Susan told me in one of our conversations at the beginning of the pancake breakfast under Mayor Tedesco was intended to bring neighborhoods together that morning to eat breakfast together before the parade. And so it's kind of an idea, like, how do we get back to celebrating neighborhoods community-wide? So with that, I thought of a banner idea. So we're going to create a banner kit. We're going to give you the banner. We're going to give you paint brushes and some markers, and you can take that back to your neighborhood and decorate that however you want. And walk in the parade with it. And so the goal is to get, you know, as many neighborhoods as we can to walk in the parade and show their pride for their area and their community. And I don't know if that's my feedback. Sorry.
So it's similar to having a neighborhood block party, but in this event, you're painting a banner together to present during the 4th of July parade.
You're kind of taking that block party on the road into the parade.
There you go.
We know that not everybody has an established neighborhood association, but that's okay. You can get your neighbors together, come pick up a banner kit, celebrate your chunk of street, and come walk with us in the parade. We'll have multiple vehicles from the City of Ames in the parade, but we've also registered a spot for just neighbors and neighborhood associations. But not everybody wants to walk in the parade, so we have another way to participate. So the Ames Appreciation Project really is two prongs. So the first prong is, we know that kids are excited by parades, and being part of a parade is a big deal. I mean, this is going to date me, but I actually remember participating in the Ames Parade in 1976, the Bicentennial Parade. I remember wearing a prairie dress and had a special cap on my hat. On my head, and I was with the Girl Scouts, and it was huge. To be a part of that parade was one of the biggest events of my childhood. So I think for some kids, being part of a parade does mean something, and it means something. They realize it's bigger than just them. Celebrating those connections in your neighborhood, being connected to your neighbors. We have spent a year being disconnected, so this is, again, the opportunity to celebrate those connections. But we know that not everybody is available. Sometimes people travel on the 4th of July. So we wanted another way for people to participate. So one way is the banner project, and the other way is the yard signs. And maybe Julie can talk a little bit about
Julie's back with us, so she can maybe address that. Mm-hmm. Julie?
Yeah, sorry, I lost my audio. So we're going to have yard signs that you can come to. We're going to be at the next two Bandshell concerts on the 17th and the 24th from 6:30 to 8. We're going to be at the Farmers Market on the 19th and the 26th. And even our kickoff meeting on June 10th at the library, you can come and pick up your yard sign and take it home with you if you want, or at all those times you can stay and make it there. And our goal is to collect those signs and post them in front of City Hall the morning of City Hall, and to fill that front lawn in front of the building full of all these signs of appreciation, whether it's a teacher, a neighbor, somebody that works for the city or somewhere else, or somebody or something that really really maybe helped you this last year, or something that you really appreciate about your community. So it's just really about spreading messages of positivity and appreciation for what we have here in our own community.
I would think that will also develop into something that the community can see year to year. It's almost like, Susan, when you're saying that you're in a parade, you know, I think at least some of us have participated in parades in the past. I know as high school bands or things like that too. And when you see a parade, you probably think a little bit about that and remember all the good things, maybe not the bad things, but seems like they're happy thoughts anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being a part of the parade, we've had kids on bikes being able to decorate and show their patriotism for several years now. And that may or may not happen again this year. I haven't checked, but whether or not the kids on bikes happens, we still will have this opportunity for neighbors to get together and celebrate their pride in Ames. And then again, if they can't, because of some reason that doesn't work in their schedule, the weekend of the 4th of July, we want to have all these yard signs, these appreciation yard signs, what you appreciate about Ames or who you appreciate for a celebration of your country or community. We'd like the front of City Hall just filled with yard signs showing appreciation, and we'll leave them up. So we'll leave them up the week of the 4th of July, and then people can come collect them and take them home and show them in their own yards. But we just think it would be really fun to have an entire front yard filled with all the ways that Ames citizens appreciate one another. And this is sort of where the Ames Appreciation Project name came from. And it just happened to coincide with the 4th of July, which is a wonderful celebration of country. So we call it the celebration of community and country.
That's great. And I wonder how many folks are going to be taking selfies or having little family groups of photographs by their signs out there in front of City Hall. It sounds like
a
great community.
Yeah, we would welcome those. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So, okay. Julie, anything else that you want to add before we wrap up today?
You don't have to be a registered neighborhood association with the city to participate in the banner making. If you're a group of neighbors that get to write together regularly, and do neighborhood association type activities, we still want you to participate in the banner project.
That's great. Are the banners going to be of various sizes? Because I know at least one individual who is a volunteer down here lives on one of the shortest streets in Ames, East 8th Street, and I can see where there's maybe only one or two people that could carry that banner.
They are, it will take two people to carry. Yes, they are wide enough. I think they're actually 6 feet apart. So even if you're still concerned about socially distancing, you know, it's 6 feet, so we can keep that safe distance and carry that banner.
Great. Susan, anything else to add before we close?
Well, I just want to again explain those times. So Julie will kick off the project at the library on Thursday. And that will be the first opportunity to get banners or to collect information about neighborhood associations, to get information about the project. Then the following week, the Bandshell Concerts on the 17th and the 24th. Julie, is that correct? I'm going off memory.
Yep, you're correct.
And then also the Farmers Market.
The 19th and the 26th.
Okay, so there are several opportunities to pick up a kit or do it right there on the spot. Do your yard sign, leave it with us. We'll get it displayed, finish your banner, take it home, and then come back on the 4th of July. So lots of opportunities to get involved, yes.
Very good. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Julie, from the City of Ames. And everybody, get out there and pick up a banner or a yard sign. Great community project, great community effort. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight
night, come and me one go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight, come and me one go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Daylight, come and me one go home. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Daylight, come and me one go home.
Day, she's a day, oh.
Daylight, come and me one go home.
Day, she's a day. She's a day, she's a day,
she's a day.
A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Daylight come and me one go home. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight
come and me one go home.
Day, she's a day, oh.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Day, she's a day, she's a day, she's a day.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Day-o, day-o.
Daylight come and me one go home. Daylight come and me one go.
Well, Anna Banana Magnuson, how are you today?
Well, I got the whole version of the song today. I rocked it out, that banana song.
Yeah, we saw you carrying a double bunch to the canoe.
Well, it is, as you know, Tune In Tuesday, as I try and tempt you out there to listen to KHOI. So, Mike, why give the wild and ignored plants like motherwort, yarrow, and arnica, why do they go to therapy?
Well, Anna,
yes.
I don't know. Why do they go to therapy?
Yeah, these wild and ignored plants go to therapy because they want to get to the root of their problem.
I can see the only root of the problem was that joke.
Well, on a much more serious note, the Donna Lana Kitchen Show will celebrate plants, the uses and appreciation of the wild and ignored plants like yarrow, arnica, raspberry, chamomile, echinacea, and my favorite to say, motherwort. They also will share their thoughts on chickweed and milkweed. And that isn't all. It's a fully packed show, as Lana will have a reading, a lighthearted take on Raiding the Refrigerator by Robert Fulghum. You may remember he wrote that popular book, All I Ever Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten.
And the thing about in kindergarten was Mom always put stuff on the top shelf so you couldn't reach it without pulling the stool up.
Oh, right. So they can talk about that. That's
yeah.
Something they can talk in the Donna Lana Kitchen Show, too, about raiding the refrigerator and what you did. Naughty. Well, they may be wild, but they are never ignored. The two fabulous hosts of the Donna Lana Kitchen. What is this Donna Lana Kitchen Show, you might ask? Why should I tune in? Well, the Donna Lana Kitchen talks about food, farming, recipes, advice, and opinions. Chef Donna and Farmer Lana explore the local food scene with lively discussion and good humor when? On Tuesdays at noon and repeated at 7 p.m. Now, Mike Metz, let's keep with the plant theme, shall we? And let me ask you this. Why can't you iron a four-leaf clover? In case you didn't hear that, why can't you iron a four-leaf clover?
Why can't you iron a four-leaf clover? I don't know. Why?
Because you shouldn't press your luck
Now, in spite of that being a terrible joke, I am going to test my luck and ask you, what will you and Sam Wormley discuss on Science Bites today?
Well, we're going to be sharing a shamrock shake. No, not. I'm just kidding.
I got excited.
Yeah. No, we're going to continue our discussion on a couple of different alternative energy methods. It's interesting that you talk about the Don Alana Kitchen, and you know they're into farming and sustainable farming, and we're going to talk about carbon sequestration, which a good organic farmer is well noted for. But we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about some improvements, not only in efficiency but in safety for critters with wind turbines. And we'll also talk about some efficiency measures that are being explored with solar panels. And some of that research has actually been done here at Iowa State, though we didn't really cite that, but kind of an interesting eclectic mix of things today.
That is quite a mix. Now, I would like to challenge myself to talk about carbon sequestration at least 5 times a day, but I don't even know what that is. So can you just give me a quick 101?
Yeah. Let's say that fast 5 times, and you'll know what it is. But what it is a method of removing carbon dioxide, which is a greenhouse gas, trying to put that back into either the soil, which is one of the reasons why our soils here are so dark and rich. It's because it's carbon. And folks that farm the ground are actually mining carbon. When you think about it, they're transferring that carbon from the soil to the plants and in some cases to the animals. So we're all eating carbon, all miners in one way or another.
Okay, so that's definitely a reason to tune in to Science Bites today at 3:30 in the morning. Is that right?
That's right. It's 4:30 in the afternoon to 5 on Tuesday afternoons. And I'm sure there would be some folks that would like to hear it at 3:30 in the morning, because then they wouldn't have to listen to our puns.
No, they definitely want to listen to your puns today at 4:30, you and Sam Wormley. So after you listen to the two of you make science fascinating and learn about carbon sequestration, say that 5 times fast, you can tune in tonight at 8:30 p.m. to find out what songs I match to the messages and conversations that are part of the show. Now, the second Tuesday of the month for Heart to Heart Messages is reserved for Keisha Beasley and Angie Weekly, who join me in a Heart to Heart conversation about our personal faith journeys. But if you tune in, the hour is filled with humor, insights, information, and inspiration. Those two ladies cracked me up. Let's see if you can guess what song I have selected to match to part of our heart-to-heart conversation from me reading the lyrics of one of tonight's shows. So to all those who honor the good we see in one another, I dedicate these lyrics to you. Broken world with broken dreams, the generation is on our knees. We are called to love. You hold the weary in your hand. For your cause, we will stand. We are called to love. All right, so what is the song?
Well, you've got the word love in there, so obviously it's Love is a Many Splendored Thing. Wrong again.
Wrong again. So, but you can find out why Mike Metz is wrong by tuning in to KHOI tonight at 8:30. Now, Mike Murphy.
Yes.
That theme. What do you get when you cross a gardener and some trendy headphones?
Something about buds.
Well, close. It's Beats by Dre. So if you fast forward 2 days ahead of today, will we hear any Beats by Dre on You Name It this Thursday?
Well, this Thursday we're focusing on entirely new music released in 2021.
So, ooh, good one.
Yeah.
All right.
Calling it What's New.
What's New? So tune in to What's New on You Name It this Thursday. Now, Pat.
Yes?
How do plants make themselves heard?
They unite with the potatoes and grow ears.
Oh, God, that's good. But no, the answer I have is with amp
Amplification.
Amplification. Yeah. I got it. Amp leaf.
So wonder what will be amplified on All Things Pianos and Beyond with Tom Russell this morning. I guess we'll have to tune in to find out. And as Lana will be reading from All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, here are some of my favorites from the book. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Live a balanced life. Learn some and drink some and draw some and paint some and sing and dance and play and work every day some. And I would stay in to tune into KHOI 89.1 FM to listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen Show, you name it. Heart-to-heart messages, All Things Piano, and Science Bites, to just name a few of your listening options to make your day a great one. All right, time for me to leave. Back to you, Mike.
Thank you, Anna.
You have been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI provides a platform for citizen and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Live streaming of our broadcast can be found online at khoifm.org.
This program is produced by Lynn Carey and Ursula Rudenberg and engineered by Mike Murphy. Thanks, Mike. You heard from Brenda Dreyer, Senior Vice President of the Ames Chamber, Erica Place, Story County Conservation Outreach Coordinator, Susan Guiazda, Communications Officer, and Julie Gold from the City Planner with the City of Ames. And thank you, Anna Banana Magnuson and Pat Schlerbaum. I have been your host, Mike Metz.
Please consider becoming a member of this fine community radio station with your financial support. Go to our website at khoifm.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member. You can also call 515-292-2878, 515-292-2878, or drop by the station during daytime business hours at 410 Douglas in the historic Pantorium building.
And a quick split.
Yes, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOI, and
see you again on the radio.